This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Greg Weaver. He's an arranger and a sax player with the Hard Modes based in Virginia. And Greg, it's really great to have a chance to talk with you. And you've arranged just the most amazing concert with a bunch of different jazz video game bands from all over the world. So thanks so much for taking some time to be on the program.
Thanks for having me, Kate. I'm really excited to be here.
This is just an epic, like, festival of jazz covers from games. It's on Saturday, August 31st from 6 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And, you know, you can check local listings depending on where you are in the world. But it really does span the globe. There's the VGM Collective in New York, the 8-Bit Jazz Heroes in California, Tokyo's Nice Edmund is Super Sumo Wrestler, and the Consoles in Sydney, and then your band, the Hard Modes. So I guess the obvious place to start is, what gave you the idea to coordinate all of this?
Yeah, so once I started the Hard Modes, you know, I started looking deeper and deeper into groups that play in a similar style as we do. So that's, you know, making jazz arrangements of video game music. I'm particularly interested in those who utilize improvisation in their works too. And you know, the more bands I discovered, the more I kept on thinking, man, it would be so great to have some kind of concert with these bands. But we're from all over the place. One of the first bands that I actually ran into online is a group from Canada, the Koopa Troop. One of the members went to school with our keys player, and I just thought of how cool that connection was, and you know, maybe one day we can meet up somewhere halfway and have a show together or something like that. So that was kind of the origin. And earlier this year, I thought, well, you know, streaming technology has come so far, and why not just have a concert where, you know, we're all just streaming sets? You know, Twitch is such a popular vehicle for gamers, and so I thought it would be a great idea for us to do back-to-back sets together and make an event out of it.
Yeah, it's so cool. And so how will people be able to watch it then?
The easiest thing to do, well, the first band that's playing is the VGM Collective out of New York. And so everything's going to start on their Twitch page. That page is linked, all the information, all of our websites. So that's you can find that on thehardmodes.com. There'll be links there to free play and the schedule and all information about the bands. You can read about them. You can listen to their music, watch their YouTube videos. If you go to the schedule and just click on their name, I'll go to their Twitch page and start there. And, you know, even if you're starting a little bit later, if you're starting at, you know, you get online at 8 p.m. Eastern, for instance, just go straight to Nice Edmund is Super Sumo Wrestler's Twitch page. And you know, just catch up. And Twitch actually has a great mechanic where the host of the stream can actually pass all of the viewers on to the next stream. So once VGM Collective is finished around 7 o'clock, they're just going to pass everyone over to 8-Bit Jazz Heroes Twitch page too and keep things rolling. So,
wow, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
So, how many of these bands do you know personally? I mean, do you have like forums, or you just like chat back and forth? I mean, how many of them have you like actually talked with and hung out with?
I haven't hung out with any of them. They're actually in person. I wish, you know, I had the idea earlier this year, and I just did basically cold calls. I sent them emails. You know, I'm connected with some of them via social media. And, you know, I've checked out their videos and liked their stuff. And, you know, we've had just like short little, this is killing kind of conversations, you know. no real hang with the groups, but they were super gracious in writing me back. I think just even that, you know, sending an email out cold and then getting it and then even responding was kind of like a miracle to me. So yeah, that's just the only way we've really been connected so far.
You know, the video game community is super tight, but I would imagine since there are so many fewer bands doing jazz covers of game melodies and game themes, that's even a smaller community. So I would imagine it would be pretty easy to kind of get to know each other a little bit and get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, that I thought that with this, with free play, we could, bring the small community even closer together and, you know, get to know each other's playing even more intimately and hopefully, you know, just chat with each other, you know, exchange, emails within this event and, you know, just have a good time together. And hopefully that leads to more collaboration and, you know, more opportunities for not only us as musicians, but for the little niche genre we have going on here.
Well, all of the different groups from your band, the Hard Modes, right through the VGM Collective, you know, they are like a powerhouse. I mean, they've got so many people, and then the 8-Bit Jazz Heroes, there's just like a little handful of them. So I think what's really cool is that you get the whole spectrum of how bands are doing jazz covers, which is really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, that's something that I'm really excited about too. I mean, as you mentioned, each of the bands has their own unique makeup. Like, for instance, one of the reasons that I'm excited about the 8-Bit Jazz Heroes performing is that, you know, the approach to arranging music and improvising in a guitar trio setting is so much different from one that, you know, larger groups such as mine and the VGM Collective do. So the approach is completely different. Anyone who's listening to the whole show is just going to, you know, get a great sampling, of the possibilities here.
Yeah. And what's cool about each one of the bands is that their choices of music are really a great fit for the size of the band and what the players' strengths are. And I love the VGM Collective's cover of Plural Fury from Cuphead.
So good. Yeah, they have the percussionist who's just makes that so come together so well with them. an interesting point that, you know, we build our repertoire based on our build as groups. And that's something that I think about every time I, you know, want to arrange a new piece. You know, I love so many video game music tracks. Some of them I, you know, want to arrange and I just don't have quite that idea that would fit in with our group. Others, you know, it's such a natural fit. So yeah, everyone's repertoire is totally unique, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and so what I think is going to happen is that there won't be a lot of repetition from
right.
one band to another, too. So.
Yeah, in the our intro video for our GoFundMe, I included a funny little graphic of our intersecting what intersects in our repertoire, and there is one tune that I think everyone tends to cover, but other than that, we all are doing our unique thing.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the hard modes a little bit. How did you get the idea of starting a jazz ensemble to do game music?
Technically, I'd say this started back in 2009. I was a senior at the University of Virginia, and I was having my senior recital, and I had the idea to do an arrangement of the Proto Man and Gemini Man themes from Mega Man 3. So I, you know, I did them and performed them, and I, you know, just loved that. Flash forward a few years later, I didn't have a lot of opportunity to play between when I graduated and when I moved to Charlottesville back in 2016. But I just had that idea of doing more game music covers in mind, and it just kind of consumed me. I started on a few other, you know, small projects and just waiting for the right moment where I had a band to play them with. And, you know, we play those today. One's our cover of Cosmo Canyon from Final Fantasy VII, and the other one is Find Your Way from Final Fantasy VIII.
Thank you.
years ago, I was finally able to get enough arrangements completed. And I had been playing in Charlottesville, really reacquainting myself with the jazz scene here. It's where the University of Virginia is, and getting back together with the players. So it was the right time to do more arrangements and really make this dream that I'd had for years a reality. And we had our debut concert back in January 2018. So.
Wow, that's a long way to come in a really short time. Jeez, that's awesome. How did you recruit the rest of the members in the band?
The trumpet player, Brandon, is a friend of mine from our college days at UVA. And he had just stuck around Charlottesville doing grad school work and got his doctorate. So he was already here. With the original lineup, the bass player was also a college friend of ours too. So from there, it was just like folks that I had met through our other friends, other players down here in Charlottesville, and they happened to get really excited about the music, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah, and the band has stayed mostly the same since we've been together. Our bass player and our drummer, or at least I should say our main bass player and our main drummer have switched out. But the folks who were originally in the band too, sub in for gigs from time to time too. So we're all still playing this music and it's a lot of fun.
Wow. Well, who are some of the jazz greats that you really love and that you look to for your arrangements?
There are a lot for sure. My favorite jazz player is Chris Potter, a great modern saxophone player. I think his work seeps into kind of everything I do. I'm not sure that there's a particular direct correlation there, but I know at least my thoughts are always like with the way he approaches music and the way that I approach improvisation. Some of the tunes are very directly influenced by other jazz artists. So, for instance, that Proto-Man theme arrangement is influenced by Charles Mingus and Better Get It in Your Soul. Just the groove of that is apparent in there. Cosmo Canyon. This isn't necessarily a jazz artist per se, but the groove is based off of the Purdy Shuffle by Bernard Purdy, the great pop drummer. And that groove is prominent in a couple Steely Dan songs, Babylon Sisters and Home at Last. So it spans, the influence definitely spans the gamut of jazz. Our arrangement of I Was Born for This by Austin Wintory is loosely influenced by Ornette Coleman's Lonely Woman as well. That's a little bit harder to hear if you listen to it, but that was kind of where my head was when I arranged it.
I think what makes it so interesting is that it's not just a cover of a theme from a game. There are lots of those, and they're awesome, but having the extra layer of doing it in a jazz style it's got to be a fun challenge. And you know, one of the things that makes jazz pretty unique is that there's a lot of improvisation. So how do you work out the charts so that you can tell what the theme is, but then everybody gets a chance to improvise?
So the way that I personally approach it is with most of the arrangements, I'll transcribe the melody and, you know, I'll work within the chords that are already there. But I do a lot of reharmonization in my arrangements, particularly. So it stays within that original framework, but kind of takes it to, you know, different places to kind of allow us to explore the tunes in different ways. And one of the things that I think that does, or that I think about when I'm playing, is that it kind of brings me closer to the music in a way. It kind of allows us to extend the melodies and extend that the bedrock chord changes in a way that's really personal. And it almost is as if, and I try to think about this when I'm playing, as if I'm playing the game while improvising in a sense.
That is just amazing. And I know from talking with some of the other composers, like Austin and others, that they wish they had an opportunity to extend the cues that get into a game, because a lot of times the cue will get cut short. In fact, Chris Madigan said with his soundtrack for Cuphead, each one of those cues was like twice as long as it needed to be because he died so often.
amazing.
But it must be really fun to take a melody like that from Chrono Cross or Undertale and just run with it for as long as you feel like the melody needs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a unique experience, and it's something that's really fun. This music is very personal to those who play it. I'm both video game music and jazz. You know, I grew up playing these games, and they hold a special place in my heart. And to be able to pair that with another huge love of mine, which is jazz music, and be able to perform this stuff in real time in unique ways is really a blessing.
Oh, yeah. And I think just especially when you are listening to the music from a game that you played when you were a kid or playing with your kid, in my case, it brings back a lot of really strong memories. But I also wonder if some of these early game themes, like from Mario and Mega Man, have a different quality melody-wise than music that's being written right now. And maybe that's why so many artists want to cover themes from games, from that era, from kind of the early age of video games.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting to think about, especially while you're listening to stuff. I think part of it's inevitably a nostalgia thing. So, those melodies, I played the levels in Mega Man over and over and over and over again, because first, I was a kid and I had all that time to do that. Second, those games are really hard. So, you just die a lot and you come back. And I think that Cuphead is probably just ingrained in people's memories, whether they like it or not, because of that, the difficulty factor there. So I think there's that and just like that deep connection to it. I also think it has to do with the technology. There were so many limitations writing for those chiptunes or those systems that there is such a focus on, there needed to be a focus on the melody, and there couldn't be but so many voices. So it's interesting from a melodic perspective, because I think it was a huge focus on the melodies, but also from a harmonic perspective. I wish I could remember where I heard this, but recently I heard somebody talking about how, because there are only so many channels, the chords are sort of ambiguous in times. And so when folks are doing covers or arrangements of those older game tunes, there's so much room for interpretation. So it was really fascinating for me to hear that, because a chord that's played in the middle of a Mega Man 2 song isn't necessarily going to be a major chord or minor seventh chord or something like that. It's not so cut and dry. So it really opens things up and allows for a lot of interpretation.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about that. But yeah, with those early songs, they couldn't even do, in some cases, like a full chord. It just had to be just two notes and your brain would sort of fill in what
right,
the chord
yeah.
was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as you're playing games now, do you get distracted listening to the music and thinking, oh man, I could really make a great arrangement from that?
Yeah, it depends. I tend to pull from a lot more classic games, but Austin Winery's work in Journey is just so captivating that I had to do a tune from that in our first show. I was born for this. It's like really special, and I was so delighted to be able to do a modern tune. And there are plenty of other composers who are writing great melodies, and I think there's a lot there that we can take from. So the well is never going to dry up on those old tunes, but I think it is important to look at modern composers and what they're doing, and taking those in different directions as well, and honoring what they're doing, because there's really fascinating stuff going on. Shoji Meguro, the composer for the Persona games, is another one of those modern composers who's doing something really unique. Persona 5 was such an artistic experience, visually as well as with the music. And I think that there's a striking uniqueness of that really was allowed itself to be covered by a lot of bands too. And there's a ton of people who are doing great work with that music too.
Yeah, and Undertale seems to be another one.
Oh yeah,
that is just packed with great melodies too. And your cover of Oh One True Love is really gorgeous.
Thank you.
You really got to the heart of that.
That was a really fun one to do. I remember when we were rehearsing it. Our trumpet player Brandon, he hadn't yet played the game, and he's finished it now, but when the trumpet comes in, you know, it's kind of boisterous and a little obnoxious, and he says, are you sure you want me to play it like that? I was like, yes, absolutely, that's the way it is in the game. And you know, it's beautiful up to this point, but it's just like really bombastic, so it was a lot of fun to do that.
Thank you.
thing that I've noticed listening to the pieces that you've got and then watching the videos too. It sounds like, and seems like you guys are just having so much fun jamming together.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it's a dream to be in a group of friends and people who are really passionate about the music and passionate about playing this music and, you know, and just creating that personal connection too. So all of that's there. So I'm really, really blessed to have this group of guys.
Well, I mean, if you could like pick out one thing that you're really looking forward to for the concert on the 31st, what would that be?
Oh man. It's hard to choose one thing. I think it's just listening to everyone's just unique interpretations. I mean, we talked about this earlier, but everyone has such a unique approach, and I think that everyone's going to come into this concert really giving it their all and really showcasing what makes their group special, and just hearing all those different repertoire and the approaches that they're taking to the music. I think it's just going to be just so special and unique for each band.
Yeah. Have you got your set list together yet?
I do.
That's good.
It was fun building the set list. You know, we tend to really stretch when we play shows, but for this one, we were like, well, we can't just play, you know, three tunes. I mean, we could, but we decided to do more tunes with shorter improv sections, like limiting it to just one or two soloists per tune so that we can get more of our repertoire out there.
That sounds like a really excellent plan for sure. So how can people hear your videos or the albums that you've done? I mean, what are some of the ways they can check in and check you guys out?
Yeah, so everything can be found at thehardmodes.com. And we're on all social media platforms, youtube.com/thehardmodes. You can check out some of our videos. There's some live cuts there. There are some studio recordings that we have videos of there. We also have a SoundCloud, and I would direct listeners to the link on thehardmodes.com because it's our cuts in the SoundCloud are on kind of like my personal SoundCloud account. So you can check it out there, twitter.com/thehardmodes, instagram.com/thehardmodes, all that good stuff.
Cool. So yeah, like a one-stop shopping kind of.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, is there anything else that you want people to really know about the concert?
Yeah, the other thing that I'd like folks to know is that we are playing this for the music. We also have a corresponding GoFundMe where we are raising money not only for the artists. You know, every artist that's participating in free play is doing so pro bono. They don't expect to be paid at all, but we did start this GoFundMe to raise some money so that we could pay the artists so that they can continue doing what they do. But also the other part of the proceeds are going to go to the Able Gamers Foundation. And that is a nonprofit whose mission is to utilize fund to bring inclusion and improve quality of life for people with disabilities through the power of video games. And they have a hashtag so everyone can game. So this is a charity that makes games more accessible for folks with disabilities who may not otherwise be able to play. And that's just a great foundation that I came across them a number of years ago when I was living in Fairfax. I went to an International Game Developers Association meeting where the founder, Mark Bartlett, was talking. And it really stuck with me and the importance of making games accessible to everyone. And so I'm really excited to be raising money for them as well.
Oh, that's such a great gesture. That is really fantastic. Greg, it's been so much fun to talk with you about this, and I can't wait for this concert. It's going to be so cool. So thanks so much for spending some time to talk about it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I'm really excited that you're pumped for it, and we can't wait to really bring you some great music. Thank you.
Thank you.